Welcome back, everyone, to Empower with Emma, with me, Emma Kyo. This week on the pod, we have a beautiful, knowledgeable, inspirational homeopath, herbalist, naturopath, nutritionist, a woman with so much knowledge around periods, around female well-being, around, you know, our cycles, education we don't know about. I only found out how my cycle worked through this lady. It is the one and only AOK Nutrition, Aisling O'Keefe. I had her on my podcast actually in season one, and we were talking about our menstrual cycle. So you can even go back to that and listen to it and how our menstrual cycle works, because as women, I actually didn't even know this, and we don't get taught this stuff in school. So for me, this is a really educational pod, which I've taken information from, and I hope you do too. Today on the pod, we have the one and only AOK Nutrition. Welcome to the pod.
Thank you so much for having me back on again.
I know, welcome back, because I had you on. Was it season one I had you on?
I think so. Like, how long ago was that? 2 years ago?
Oh my God. Oh my God. Yeah, it was. It was 2022. What the hell?
Mad. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Delighted to be back.
Yeah, I'm so delighted, because the reason why I have Aisling on today is because you introduce yourself on what you do, first of all, because you've helped me so much and you've helped so many women with their nutrition and their cycles. How did you get into it, and tell me about you for anyone listening?
Really short version.
Yeah.
So yeah. So online, I'm AOK Nutrition. So most people probably know me by that. And basically my background is I'm a nutritional therapist. I'm a herbal medicine practitioner as well. I have a clinic in Port Marnock, which I set up 10 years ago. So I'm 10 years in business this year, which is absolutely insane. And originally my clinic was very much, and we still do, we see everyone, all walks of life. I had a woman yesterday in her 70s who couldn't sleep. We have like people with skin issues, like we have like men with gut health issues. But for me personally, over the last couple of years, I've kind of fallen into the realm of women's health and hormones and fertility, mostly because there's such a need for it and like such lack of education. I remember learning things, being like in my 20s, being like prime example, like the pill isn't, pill babies aren't real periods. I learned that when I was in my 20s, being like, what? Like, why were we never taught these?
I learned that 3 years ago from
you. This is what I mean. Yeah. So there's so many things I was like, oh my God, how do you not know these things? So basically my clinic then at the moment is massive into kind of getting to the root of the problem. We look at blood testing. We might look at functional tests, and we used lifestyle medicine, supplements, herbs, nutrition to help bring the body back into balance is the best way to probably describe it. I see everything from fertility, PCOS, heavy periods, acne, painful periods, like anything got to do with hormones, loss of cycles, we would work it in the clinic. And it's very much like, again, getting to the root of the problem. And it's long-term changes, because the problem with hormones, like you're going to have a period probably for the next 20 years. Most of these people listening like are probably in their 20s or 30s. So, you know, medication might always be the best route, because it's when, what's the end goal? Like, when do you stop that? So it's kind of a massive part of my clinic is education around hormones, and then obviously seeing clients as well.
Yeah, big time. And then touching on that as well, like, what are the problems then you've seen with it? Obviously, we've talked about this before, and you can touch on it briefly as well about medication, aka contraception, other things to help you. Like, what are the main problems that you see all the time that nearly frustrates you as well? Because I know for me, I was never educated. I don't think a lot of women are educated. We're taught when we become of age and we start having sex and we're protecting ourselves, that is exactly what the contraceptive pill is for. And it's like, there you go, take that. And we don't even question it. We don't question the GP. And then when I realized I didn't have a sex drive, I, you know, was getting hormonal, I just thought it was me. And I was like, oh, that's just me. That's natural. And I only educate myself from coming off the pill and coming off contraception for that as well. So what are the things that you really commonly see that people are oblivious to? Like,
yeah, there's the question I always ask if someone's on birth control is, were you put on it for like irregular cycles, acne, heavy periods, or are you on as a contraceptive? Because they're two very different things as well. Like, if you're put on it to, I'm doing like inverted commas, regulate your cycle, the pill will never regulate your cycle, because it works by stopping your hormones. It switches off your hormones completely. So we've mentioned there, like, the bleed you get in the pill is a fake bleed. It's not a real period. And like, the amount of people come to me and they're like, oh, I used to have irregular periods and the pill fixed it. And I'm like, no, you used to have regular periods and now you haven't ovulated in 10 years. Like, this is someone, you know, who could be 27 and they got put in the pill at 17. So that's the first issue, is a lack of education around it. Like, I definitely definitely was not sat down when I went on the pill. Say I was on only ever for 1 or 2 years, thank God. But the doctors never liked me. This is how it works. It's a hormonal contraceptive. It works by stopping ovulation. Ovulation means it's how your body makes your hormones. So while you're on birth control, you're not going to make estrogen. You're not going to make your progesterone. Your testosterone is going to be lower. Potential side effects that come with that then are things like low libido, which is so ironic. And like all of us, we start having sex, we go on the pill, we don't get pregnant, right?
Yeah.
And then we all switch off our sex drive. And the other huge thing that's never spoken about, I know people are going to be like, oh my God, this makes so much sense. Vaginal dryness, right? If you have low estrogen levels, you have more vaginal dryness. The amount of women I see in their 20s, early 20s, who are struggling with having sex and being absolutely freaked because they're like, I'm not wet. Like I have no discharge. And I'm like, yeah, because you're on birth control. And then even when they're told that, it's like, oh, okay. And that's so much easier than maybe to go back to their partner and be like, okay, it's not me. It's actually the contraceptive. And then you can kind of move past that a little bit. But I think a lot of people get in their head a lot about that. Anxiety is a huge thing I see as well. And, you know, there's been debate saying it doesn't cause anxiety or it does. Like I said there, I'm in clinic 10 years. The amount of women I've seen come through my doors, and like that's a huge side effect, I think, from birth control is low mood and anxiety. I have so many clients come back to me and they're like, I thought I was anxious and I came off birth control. And they're like, I'm a completely different person.
Yeah. And I remember this as well. It's so weird. So I was on the pill from the age of 18 to about 30, 31. So like, I remember it was after my 30th birthday, like that's 12 years. And I remember the things I've noticed for anyone listening was low libido. I didn't know I had really anxiety until I came off it. Now that maybe you say, do you know that way? But like all these little things as well, you think there's something wrong with you. I actually thought there was something wrong with me. That's being honest. And then they get in your own head. But then I remember when I came off, and it took me a good few months, but it actually felt like something left my body. Like I felt me. I felt like, oh, I'm in my body. I can feel my body. Like, and then obviously it was like, oh my God, do you know aliens, like Sigourney Weaver, that movie? It felt like there was an alien inside me. And like, I'm telling you, who is this person? Like, who is she? Where did you find her? But it felt like that I was like, oh my God, what is this inside me? And then when after a few months, then when it stopped, then it took me, I'd say 6 months to a year, I was like, my libido actually came back. And I thought, I was like, that's just me. I'm not, you know, really have a sexual libido or a high sex drive. But then I was in control of my hormones. I was like, oh my God, is this what this is? But my doctor never educated me on that at all. It was like, there's your pill. This is for you not to get pregnant. Bob's your uncle. There you are.
The thing of it is, I actually don't think the doctors know either. I think I'm 33 now. So 15, 20 years ago, like, I don't think even some of them were aware of how it really worked. Do you know that kind of way? Like, that's what I can kind of gather from it now. And even like I see a lot of the clients with irregular cycles. So you could have loss of period irregular cycles because you're low in iron. It could be a thyroid issue. It could be high testosterone. It could be stress, right? There's four different root causes. And every single one of those women sitting down would have been offered the pill.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So even that in itself, of like the lack of understanding of it's such a short-term fix, or I don't know, I think things are shifting now because we're talking about it more, but it's mad that like, I think things will change completely in the next couple of years. Like, definitely. Like, I think as time goes on, and there's so much research coming now out on birth control, because we're the guinea pigs. Like, our moms weren't on the pill for 20 years. Like, it's our generation, us millennials, we're the kind of ones that were, you know what I mean, the guinea pigs. And there is research now coming out that like, they're seeing a link between women who go on the pill in their late teens correlated with how much antidepressants would be prescribed then in their 20s.
Go away. Really?
Yeah. And I see a massive link between gut health and being long-term contraceptives, because the pill is a drug. Like, anything you put in orally into your mouth will impact your gut bacteria. So years and years and years of being on birth control can definitely impact gut health. So I said, clients come to me in their late 20s and they have IBS, and it's been built up over years, you know?
Right. So do I have the pill to blame for my IBS in my 20s and my gut health issues?
Potentially. I feel like it would have added fuel to the fire, definitely. Like, you're taking a medication every single day. So any of my clients who were on birth control, I'm like, if you're putting a pill into your mouth, you have to take a probiotic, or you have to supplement with like, make sure you're taking fermented food. Like, you have to keep on top of your gut health, because you're killing off a few of your gut bacteria every day. So let's make sure we're replacing what's been killed off.
And then is that Aisling where it comes from? Because I've been reading up on this as well. So, you know, if so, this is nearly like kind of like a little a jigsaw piece. So if you're saying that you're on the pill, right, and then you're struggling with your gut health, and then obviously your gut health promotes your serotonin, your happy hormone, it's going to make you feel down. And I've been reading stuff about then thrush as well and candida. Would that be linked to that as well?
Yeah. Oh my God, absolutely. 100%. So like thrush, and I've actually podcasted on my own podcast.
Give it a plug.
A whole episode on thrush and BV, so people can go back and listen to that one as well. But it, think about like, so thrush is an overgrowth of bad bacteria in the vagina. So it's like as if the bad guys are having a ball because your good guys are low. It's like an army. So I always talk about, so making sure your gut health is optimal will help, like that you mentioned there. It helps make your happy hormones. Most of your gut is your immune system. So people don't think about like nice immune system, like, oh, I haven't had antibiotics in ages, like I'm never sick. But they're sitting in front of me with acne. And I'm like, your skin that won't heal is also an immune response. Or people come to me and they've really bad joint pain, or they have really bad period pain. I'm like, that's all an immune response. It's not just colds and flus the way we see like your immune system. Like, so if most of your gut, like 70 to 80% of your gut is your immune system, you might have other weird things you don't realize. So your hair doesn't grow like us as girls, like all the little things are important. Your skin, like that kind of things. That's also linked with gut health. So yeah, it's, other things, like I always recommend things like zinc is really important on birth control, for example. So zinc gets depleted when you're on the pill, B vitamins get depleted when you're on the pill, and like those things are so important for energy and for supporting digestive enzymes. And it's like that has a chain reaction then as well, especially like that if you're on the pill 10 years, how much that can impact you.
Yeah. And I've even seen that myself personally, like as in, you know, from the pill with the gut health, you know, I think every girl, and like, this is the thing we talk openly about this on the pod, like thrush, like there's no point in making gray areas. We're all women here. So like, these are the things that we're going to like suffer with as well. And that like, there's such a, I think like, do you think now like there's not a stigma as much, but women are talking a bit more openly about this?
I hope so. Like in one sense, I'm like, it's just because it's my world. I think people are, you know, that way. But I'd love to think the younger generation are way more clued in than we were, do you know, that way. Even like when I see clients, I'm like, do you know when you're ovulating? And most women in their 30s are like, I haven't a fucking clue. And I'm like, because no one ever told us. No one ever explained the science of ovulation. If I tell someone like, are your periods heavy? They don't know what a heavy period is versus a light period.
Okay, so talk to me about that then. So educate people. This is one of my topics. How do we educate ourselves? So how do we know if we have a heavy period? So we'll start off with that.
So a heavy period, yeah, is if you use more than 8 super tampons in one cycle, if they're fully soaked in one cycle, is a heavy period. Or 16 regular tampons, but they have to be fully soaked. So it's basically, or if you use a cup, it's more than 80 mils in one cycle. So that's important to know, because some people are like to me, like if you've never had anything different, imagine you have your periods your entire life and you don't know anything different. People come to me and I'm like, and how many tampons do you use? How many pads do you use? And I'm like, your periods are so heavy. And they're like, what? Like they would never have known. The other side then is a light period is less than, I think it's 6. It could be 4 or 6. This is my pregnancy right now. I like the things that like is ingrained in my soul. And I'm like, I can't remember these things anymore. I think it's less than 6. It's less than 20 mils of blood anyway. 6 regular tampons in one cycle, or no, it's actually 4. 6 is actually a lot. So it's 4 regular tampons
soaked
in one cycle. Yeah. And some people,
so that'd like, be like day like 1 to 2 kind
of whole cycle. So some people I see like, would they like, oh, I use 2 tampons and my period's gone. Do you know what I mean? So that's a light cycle.
Okay. Yeah. And then what about ovulating as well? Because I know for a big thing as well, especially for women, knowing their cycle, knowing where they're at in their cycle, knowing if you want to get pregnant in your cycle, how do you recognize that? Because I know even a lot of women out there, they come off the pill and then they're trying to find their cycle. And even I know, like when I, like, you know, years ago, when I was with an ex-partner, I was trying to get pregnant and I came off the pill, I think a year or two, and I was using those clear blue sticks. Mm-hmm. And I could never catch it, like ever.
Yeah.
But I was very stressed. There was stuff going on. My body was just in fight or flight anyways. But from a natural point of view, outside of the flow apps, outside of everything, how do we know?
The biggest lie we were ever told is that ovulation is day 14 of your cycle. do you know what I mean? This is the biggest lie. Like it's rare. Like the only time it'd be day 14 is if you have probably a 28-day cycle. The amount of women I see, no, like I don't have a 28-day cycle. Do you have a 28-day cycle? Like
28, 29.
Stunning. Oh my God, love that. When I'm a 20, if I'm a 28 cycle, I'm like, I am Mother Nature.
I'm like clockwork. Like, I'm like,
never have. Mines are always like a little bit shorter. But anyway, so that's the problem as well. Like, if you have a 40 day cycle, let's say, for example, which some women do, that means you're ovulating around day 26. Okay. So I explain this all the time. Like, it's so important to understand this. If you have a longer cycle, it means ovulation is delayed. Okay, so it means the first half of your cycle is longer than it should be. The second half is a day that you ovulate until the day that you get your period. That can only ever be 14 days long. It can never be longer than 14 days. So if your second half is longer than 14 days, you're pregnant. Okay, once you've definitely ovulated. So that's important firstly to understand, because if you're like trying to conceive or even just want to know, like a lot of my clients come off birth control and they're like, okay, I want to know when I'm ovulating. And they're looking out for ovulation day 14, like, and they've like that 40 day cycle, they're going to miss it. I also get clients to really keep track of their cervical mucus. And again, this is something that I love chatting to people about when they come off birth control. They're like, oh my God, I have all this fertile mucus. I didn't really like, or it's even just increase in discharge. Like, and they're so excited because they haven't seen it in years. Mm-hmm. And your discharge will change. So, you know, we're kind of used to like, maybe like, I kind of like yogurty, kind of like a white creamy consistency, which is kind of normal discharge. And then before you ovulate or fertile mucus, think of raw egg whites. So it's that, it's like a completely clear, almost like a jelly, like it's quite sticky. So like you could literally like slide it between your fingers and almost like stretch it. I know it sounds, but like, you wouldn't, I know it does, but like you would maybe do that with like the yogurty, like consistency. Mm. And when you see that, it's a sign that you're going to ovulate basically in the next like few days.
Yeah.
So that's always really good. And sometimes it comes in a clump, like literally could be like a clump of jelly. Like.
Yeah. And that's how I started to notice. I'm just giving my own personal experiences. Mm. I know it's TMI, ladies, but this is the joys of womanhood where like, and this is how I know from my cycle. So I'd be on day 14, but then it could be 15, 16 or even 13 where I would notice that as well, the cervical mucus as well. And I'm like, oh, that's how mm-hmm. I started to notice it. It's being more aware of what's coming out of your vagina, ladies.
Yeah, 100%. And what I would say at the start is, if you aren't really sure and you think it's fertile mucus, like put a little note in your calendar of when it was.
Yeah.
And if you don't get a period then within maybe like 16 days. So like fertile mucus is almost a sign to be like, okay, you're fertile. Like, let's go have sex, right? Mm-hmm. Where you might not ovulate for like a day or two after that. Like you were mm-hmm. saying there, it could be day 13, you ovulate a few days later. Mm-hmm. So once you see fertile mucus, give yourself maybe like 16 days. If you haven't had a period in 16 days, it probably wasn't fertile mucus. Like if you get a period 3 weeks later, you know that wasn't it, because that second half of your cycle can only be 14 days long. And the reason being, I actually find it so fascinating. So when the egg gets released from the ovaries, basically the egg is in a little sac called the corpus luteum. The egg jumps across, it goes into the fallopian tube, and that sac makes progesterone for us for 14 days. So the health of your eggs is really important. If that sac's not that healthy, then you have maybe progesterone deficiency, even more PMS, that kind of thing. So that can only live for 14 days and then it dies and then you get your period. Or if you're pregnant, that continues on to make progesterone for you for the pregnancy until the placenta kicks in. Like this fascinating. Is,
like, I, like, well, you teach me stuff every time I talk to you. Like, I'd be like, mind fuck. But like, you know, free from hormones as well. So like, because I know, isn't it certain... Even going back to the hormones, I do see people are having progesterone a period to promote this. Like, so talk to me more about that, like in different hormones.
Around your cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like hormones go 101. Like I would say the day you get your period, you always feel so much better, even though like you're bleeding and you're
crying. Oh yeah.
And your mood.
I was an antichrist last week. I hated every human on this earth.
Yeah. I remember my husband. I'm like, why does he breathe so loud? Like, I'm just going to have to murder him. And then you get your period the next day and you're like, oh, that's why. Like, I feel like you're... No, it's normal to be like that maybe the day before, but like you don't want to be that for 2 weeks before. Like that's very much PMS and things that like we kind of work with in the clinic. But like day before, you're kind of running an empty. And once you get your period, a hormone called estrogen kicks in. And two ways to think about estrogen. Estrogen can make you happy and horny. So it's your real get up and go hormone, energy, mood, sex drive, motivation. You're stronger in the gym. You're writing back to those emails you've been putting off. You're cleaning up your bedroom. Like, you know, the first half of your cycle, you've a bit more pep in your step. Or estrogen can cause heavy periods, sore boobs, water retention. Like there's kind of good estrogen and there's bad estrogen. And that's where we're always trying to balance as well. So if you've excess estrogen, it's the kind of PMS symptoms, ovarian cysts, fibroids, very much linked to endometriosis, those kind of things. Estrogen makes you ovulate. So then once you ovulate, then you make another hormone called progesterone, which we love. I always talk about progesterone. And the more progesterone you have, the better your period is going to be, because progesterone is a natural painkiller. So it's going to help with cramping. Like, cramping's normal. Like, that's how your body gets rid of your period. It causes these like mild contractions in the uterus. But you're meant to have natural painkillers there, which is part of the progesterone. It makes you feel calm. So like, I'm 9 months pregnant pretty much now. I haven't felt anxious in months. I don't know if anyone, and it's because progesterone's through the roof when you're pregnant. I was like, okay, this is insane. Like, you're so, you're like, I'm pushing baby out of my vagina in 4 weeks. And I'm like, oh yeah, cool, grand. Like, I haven't felt the same like adrenaline level of stress that I normally would. So it's so interesting from my perspective, from a progesterone perspective. And it also lightens your period and it helps the pain and other things like acne. If you're getting headaches before your cycle, that's all very much linked to my progesterone. So there's a two half of your cycle. And the whole goal is trying to keep those two hormones basically like balanced with each other.
How do we, like, for progesterone, how do we keep them at bay without medication? So for me, I'll share my experience on here, because I know this is where we're going to get to it. So for me, I've suffered, I'd say for the last, since like, when was I with you? I've probably been talking to you about 2 years about this on and off. And then I know endo runs in my family, but for years I was so fight or flight. And then I was on the pill, and then I went through a lot of stress in my life, a lot of change, and my cortisol levels were through the roof. But obviously my periods were so heavy. I was in so much pain. And then I was on the depot injection, which was like contractual pains. And then I had to go in and get the Lillette's treatment done, because I had stage 3. So I've had a lot with my cycle, like, and with my female well-being. So from that then, I'd say over the last year, I'd say a week before my periods, I'm PMSing, I'm emotional, I'm not feeling well. And then I'd have my period. So nearly for 2 to 3 weeks out of the whole month, I'm suffering. And I remember my ex saying to me, he goes, Emma, this is not right. He was like, for half of the year, you're in pain or you're hormonal. It's not right. So that's when I knew, I was like, I'm going to get my bloods done. And then from my bloods, my cortisol levels were through the roof. And then I went to see you, and you educated me on like my diet, my cortisol levels, everything like that as well. But with the whole progesterone thing and the PMS, so like last month it wasn't too bad, but this month I felt, what is causing that, like, for me?
So the biggest thing I tell clients is, imagine your period is your monthly report card. So progesterone is massively, massively impacted by stress.
Okay.
So if you had a month of taking your supplements, sleeping well, feeling good, you know what I mean? No weddings on, like no late nights, like you probably have more progesterone that month, less coffee, less mad hit workouts. Like, there's a lot of things that impact your stress, not just like being emotionally stressed. And then maybe this month then you had more on, you're up the walls, emotional stress. Like, that's the same thing. Like, you could be going through something, family might be sick, whatever it is. So it's important to kind of, if you have a good month versus bad month, I'm always like, what did you do differently this month? There's always a reason. And I think tapping into that is so empowering as well for women, because you are in control of it. You know, that way you can be like, to be honest, I haven't had a green vegetable in weeks, and I wonder my hormones are so bad. It's almost, not that it's your fault, but I suppose it is your fault to take responsibility for it. But it's like, you go, right, next month then I'm going to take my magnesium every night. I'm going to have less coffee during the day. I'm going to make sure my sleep is prioritized. And your period will probably be better the month after that.
Yeah. And that's one thing I've noticed now that you say that, like, I'm aware of that. So like last month, so I've been, since I had stomach issues and I had to go to hospital there just before Christmas, so that I listened to my body and said, this is my body telling me something, like I have to switch it up. So I haven't drank caffeine in months. And you even said that to me. You were like, Emma, first of all, you're going to come off caffeine, because I was waking up, I was having the coffee, I was got, yeah, I was doing the HIIT workout, hormones through the roof. So the last few months, to put my at bay, I do hot yoga now.
Fab.
And I go on walks. I might do an odd gym workout, but I'm not even arsed, to be honest. And I've noticed that has helped me with my respond, not react, being like, seize the day. You know what I mean? I'm like, no, ease into the day. And then I'm drinking cacao. I'm not drinking caffeine, and I do take my vitamins and sleep well. The last, say, week or two, I'm not going to lie, I have 8 to 9 hours sleep, but I'm probably on about 7. And I can notice that in myself, because I'm more stressed, because I have a lot of things going on. But like then with me, like I ended up getting a gynecologist appointment for next week. Now, I've been on the list for months because I'm just back and forth with this. Okay. And like I said to you, my mom and my nana both had endo, and I'm at this point now, I'm 37, and I'm like, it's nearly getting me down. Like, some months it's fine, some months it's not. Then like one thing that freaked me out, and I want to ask you. So my cycle would normally be 5 days long. Normal, a little bit heavy the first day, 2 days, and then it weans off. This was only 3.5 days, and I've never had that.
I'd say if it continues, there's probably a root cause, but it could have just been once off.
Yeah, because like I'm like, is it a once off? And then going to the gynecologist as well, say to get all that done. But on top of that as well, it's like, what are the signs do you like for? Because I know endo and addo like as well.
Endometriosis, yeah, like this is, I'd say I see a client every day now with endometriosis. It's a huge part of what I do in the clinic because there's so little follow-on advice and it's so frustrating. It breaks my heart, like it really does, the lack of support with women with endo. Like the amount of women who come back to me, and I ask my, in fair enough, the surgeons are surgeons, they're absolutely unbelievable at their jobs, but like a gynecologist should be aware of, just be open to it. Like, you know what I mean? Like clients have asked gynecologists, oh, does my diet play any part? No, it makes no difference what you eat. And I'm like, it's such an ignorant and arrogant thing to say. And there's such a huge difference in what you can do lifestyle medicine. I'd be the first person to go and tell someone endometriosis to go and get the surgery, get those cysts removed. Like endometriosis, if people don't realize, is basically like inflammatory tissue that can grow around the around kind of the uterus, around the uterine wall. It can be in your bowels. So normally we just have this like period tissue on like in our uterus, and then it responds to estrogen. We get our period and the blood gets removed from the body. So if you have that same tissue growing in a fallopian tube and it responds to estrogen the same way, the blood gets built up, but then the period is nowhere to go. Like there's no opening to let that blood leave. So it kind of pools and it can cause these kind of like cysts and things like that to form. It can cause massive pain, massively linked to gut health as well. Like the amount of clients I would see who've misdiagnosed IBS for years. And like women's pain is so ignored. Like I know so many people listening go into their doctor. Like some people say, oh, just bad luck. Oh, you just have bad periods. And oh, I'll give you Ponstan. You can take this with the nerve.
That happened my mom. My mom, and she was on Ponstan painkillers. Oh, you just have heavy periods. Like
it's just like just oh, like
20 years ago. Like
yeah, and like do you notice it's hard enough for us to get diagnosed, let alone your mom. And our generation, again, like us millennials, are a little bit more. It's more difficult because if there's family history of endo, like the way we know with you, that's like a huge red flag. Like that'll kind of even get you kind of further than someone else at the start. Do you get me? So like a lot of her, like my granny had 6 kids. She was either pregnant or breastfeeding for probably most of her fertile years. Do you know that way? So how she had so little periods compared to what we would have kind of. So yeah, it's really hard for our generation because we don't really have the history there a lot of the time. And then depending on doctors, like pain gets ignored. So again, with clients with endo, like things that we would see is, it's tricky, right? Because you think it's heavy periods. Some of my clients end up have 2 day bleeds. They don't have heavy periods. So I know someone, and this is from me learning just because I've worked with clients so many years. Like I never knew that. I always thought endo was the really painful, heavy periods, that kind of thing. So when she got diagnosed, I was like, that makes so much sense. I was like, I never even thought that she was in chronic pain and really bad digestive issues. She had endo in her bowels as well. I have clients who, because endometriosis affects your whole body, this thing as well, like with inflammation, your body's not just one area, your whole system's connected. And that's what frustrates me as well, what kind of medicine is. You have someone for, you know, digestion, you have someone for an endocrinologist for the brain, you have someone else for reproductive health. They're all separate people where your body is connected together. So like I have a girl who has endo and she gets really bad scalp pain. She can't wear her hair up before she gets her period. Oh. Or another girl whose joints flare up, like she gets really bad joint pain.
Oh my god,
pain?
yeah like I'm literally going around like the claw like this because of like my hands and my knees,
yeah,
and then my stomach. Like even I'm on day, I finished my period like 2 days, well I think 2 days ago, and it still feels like I have a phantom period. Like I get that for a few days after my period. I still feels like I have my period and I don't have my period.
Yeah, so it's weird. Like I think thinking it's just linked with your hormones and period is undermining how difficult endometriosis can be. Adenomyosis is a little bit different, that it's like the uterine wall is almost like the tissue is almost like melted into the wall, if that makes sense. It's really hard, like they can't really get rid of adenomyosis. It's very much based on lifestyle medicine. Yeah, the only way to get rid of it is get rid of your womb, which is hysterectomy. Where endo, you can kind of, it's a bit easier, you can go in and actually take away the tissue. And then what you do next is, again, I'm so frustrated by the follow-on advice. Like there's so much you can do. I actually have a whole episode as well on endometriosis on my own podcast. And there's so much lifestyle medicine you can do. And I'm not in a corner being like, don't get the surgery, come to me and I'll give you herbs. Like, do you know what I mean? I'm like, we need to work together. We need the best surgeon and the best nutritional advice and the best supplements, because this isn't going anywhere. You have endometriosis, you're diagnosed that forever. So it's very much about managing your symptoms and not being like, okay, come back to me now in 5 years for another surgery when your pain levels get bad again. Like, why don't we try and help them to not back for 10 years? Do you know?
Yeah. And like, it's mad even saying that, because like, even when I was Googling even what you said, there's so many different signs of it as well. And like, it nearly goes back to me being like, you know, say this month and kind of last month I was okay. But then I'm like, oh, well, I just canceled that appointment. Like, there's no need. Like, I actually do get in my own head. And then I'm like, no, Emma, like, you have to, like, I'm nearly pacifying myself and being like,
gaslighting yourself.
Yeah, literally. And literally, then I'm like, yeah. And I was like, no, there's signs there, which I've been like dealing with over the last few years. Cause what are the main signs you see for people with endo?
Pain is the biggest one. That's kind of the common denominator, is pain. And pain that would flare up randomly. It's not always just linked to your period. It could be around really bad ovulation pain. It could be like you're saying now, you're on day 6 or 7 and you're getting cramping still. So definitely pain. And when I see someone in my clinic and we're querying, do you have endo? I always say, like, I can fix period pain. Absolutely. We've lifestyle medicine is amazing for period pain. Like, I throw my herbs in the mix, your diet, your magnesium, your supplements. We've such good results with like PMS and period pain. So if someone comes back to me and they followed all my advice and they're doing everything brilliant and their bloods are perfect, and what you'll find sometimes is their other symptoms clear up. So they're like, my acne's gone, my mood is actually great, and you realize it's get my period. Menstrual migraines are gone, but I'm still in bits of my period. Those are the people then I'm like, there's something else going on here. So definitely pain that doesn't improve for me is a massive red flag with endometriosis. And that's the biggest thing I'd look at now, because heavy periods versus light periods, that doesn't always follow the curve.
Yeah.
Do you know that
What about, like, do you know one thing I remember years ago I always got, and I wanted to know about this, you know, when you get those shooting pains in your ovaries, like someone is stabbing you with a knife and twisting it, what is that?
Like ovulation pain or any other time of the month?
Oh, I don't know. Like, I mean, I'm like, ugh. Like, oh my God.
It could be ovulation. Yeah. But like, again, pain. That's not normal. Like, do you know what I mean? That like,
I'm like, I thought that was normal. I thought that was normal. I'd be like, okay, shooting pain. And I'm like this.
Yeah. It could be like the day that you're ovulating. Like maybe like sometimes that can last by 12 hours and then it goes away. But like that isn't. So imagine like you're just finished a really heavy period. You've like a week of feeling okay. Then you have horrific ovulation pain. And then you're in your fucking PMS stage, back in the progesterone phase. So like you said there, like half your life, it's even more. You're probably having a week of your month that you're actually feeling normal.
I'm so over it. I'm so fucking over it. Like I'm not too bad, say this month, last month. No, this month, I'm frantic. Last month, I wasn't too bad because of like my progesterone levels. I was a bit calmer. But like, it's even that as well, outside of that, like, and outside of your cycle, it's like just the education on it. And you know what a big thing is for me? Like, and I definitely think you need to do a course in this, just bringing men into a room and educating men on a women's cycle and the pain that they go through and the different phases that they go through, like the luteal phase. Like we don't get taught, like educated on that, like in school, about different phases in our cycles. Like, and hello, our normal cycle is 28 days, like the moon. Hello. Like, this is the thing. Like, it's educating us all on that. Like, it's like, why were we educated on this? Like,
it's mad that like literally half the world's population have a monthly period, and most people would not have any idea on how the cycle works. Like, we learned it in school. Like, I laugh now, like, you know, it's talking about biology, like the sperm comes in and fertilizes the egg and it comes down the fallopian tube. And like, it's just so far removed. There should be a separate class. The way I speak about hormones, okay, the first half of your cycle, you're happy and horny, blah, blah, blah. And look for your fertile mucus, and even knowing your fertile window, like this is something that shocked me. I remember my jaw was in the ground when I found out there was 6 days you can get pregnant of the month. Six days. Mm-hmm. The amount of times, like, you'd have sex on day 27, you're like, fuck, I'm pregnant. Like, you'd be up the walls, and then you're like, please get my period. Your period would come obviously like 3 days later, and you'd be, thank God, not realizing that if you've ovulated, you cannot get pregnant. There's one egg that gets released in a cycle. So like, this is the beauty of knowing your cycle as well, in terms of we don't have to be switching off hormones the whole month. Like, if you have a regular cycle, there's my fertile mucus. Oh, there's a little cramp there. Definitely ovulated. The second half of your cycle, you can have unprotected sex in order not to get pregnant. There's nothing there to fertilize. Like, so it's the 6 days. So basically the egg lives for a day, but sperm can live for 5 days. You have to be careful. Like, if you're ovulating on day, say, let's say day 14 for just today, like technically then say from day 9 or 10, you can if you haven't had sex, even say since day 9, you could technically still get pregnant when the egg gets released on day 14. So that's so empowering as well, because we definitely, like Mean Girls, if you have sex, you're going to get pregnant and die. Like, we're so afraid.
Yeah.
I even have women now come off the pill in their 30s and they don't trust their bodies at all. Like, they just natural cycles, I always speak about, which is like a thermometer that you take your body temperature. Yeah. So even for people who aren't trying to get pregnant or even don't want to use it as a contraceptive, I'm like, use it to learn your cycle. Be like, oh my God, there's the first time you go, and oh my God, my temperature is actually after increasing. And just to get familiar with your own body. But women don't trust themselves then, like when they come off birth control for that long, because they've never had the opportunity to do it and to learn about it, you know, learn their cycle.
Yeah. And that's one thing I was literally going to touch on, was natural cycles. Now I don't have the app, like I have the Flow app anyways, but I do kind of write notes in the Flow app and I kind of know my cycle from that. But how empowering that knowing your cycle is, that, you know, yes, I understand people do need contraception and, you know, there is, you know, that's your own personal choice. But for me, it's not, because I like to know my own body and I'm educating myself on my own body. There is other contraception out there. There's condoms, etc. There's other things. But for me, I've learned the hard way with the depot injection, with the pill, with other things. And it's just, my whole body is havoc. Like, and then on top of that, with my periods, I just don't want to add so much more stuff into my body. But I do think the importance of natural cycles is so amazing. Is that something like you encourage for women to connect and know their own bodies as well?
Yeah, definitely. I think like we were saying there, it's just, even if you don't want to use it as contraceptive, like some of my clients are like, I'm too nervous, I can't enjoy sex. I need to go on something else. And I'd always recommend something like the copper coil, or like the ballerina coil is a smaller version of the copper coil now, which came out last year. And that will stop, like, there's no way of getting pregnant on the copper coil. Like, it's 99.9% effective. It kills sperm. It changes the uterine lining. So even, and you ovulate on it, sorry. So like, it's non-hormonal. So you can get the copper coil in. I think it's in for 5 years. It could be 3 though. And you still ovulate. Okay. So for a lot of people coming off birth control and you don't want to get pregnant, they just want to come off the pill, let's say just hormone free, that might be a good option for them. But those women, I'm still like, get natural cycles and learn your cycle. So even if it is then in 3 years time, you want to get the coil out. You're like, I know my cycle inside out. I've been using natural cycles. I can see the difference. You mentioned the Flow app. Like, what I wouldn't do at the start is go by Flow, because that's just based on an algorithm. Like, there could be 1 month you did ovulate in day 14 and the next month you were up the walls and you were sick, or like I found COVID vaccines, things knocked off.
Yeah. Oh, big time.
So the Flow app is just an algorithm based on your last cycle. It's not like accurate. So I would never, ever use.
I don't necessarily use it to track. I use it to write in notes and how I feel.
Yeah.
Do you know that way?
Especially at the start, like I would use Flow now, like to kind of know my cycle and know my, because I'm so accurate, like my cycle never, and I know the signs. So I'm like, oh, Flow saying I've ovulated and there's my discharge. Like, but I wouldn't be like, oh, that's weird. Tell me ovulate. Okay, I'll just go with, you know what I mean? Like
go with the Flow.
Go with the Flow.
No, so, I was like that as well, where it was saying you were ovulating, but wasn't, like, do you know that way? I know my own body. Like,
so go when you're more clued in. I think that's a great thing just to have in the background. To be like, oh, I'm due my period in a couple of days, and it's probably pretty accurate, but definitely at the start, I find natural cycles, and it's basically just a thermometer that you just take your body temperature every day. And it's so funny. I sound like I'm sponsored by natural cycles. I'm not, like, the minute I talk about it. I just think it's such a deadly tool to have. It's so cheap. Like, I think it's like €50 a year for a subscription, and you learn so much about your cycle using it.
Yeah, no, that's it. And it's so important as well, especially, like, you know, here I'm in my 30s, you're in your 30s as well. I'm only getting to learn my body. And like, I just think it's so important to give this education back to women and spread awareness on it, because like there's so many women out there that are suffering that don't even know they're suffering, or even getting to know your own body. Like,
Yeah. And it's not normal. I think that's a big thing as well. Like, just because we're all in bits of our period doesn't make it normal. It's common, but it's not normal.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I remember being in school and, like, you know, we'd be like, oh, my friend, she's out. It's, oh, the fourth Friday of every month, she's at home with her period. Like, thinking that was a normal thing, but it's not. Like, just because we all suffer because we all have the same kind of lifestyles. But it's, you don't, like, I say to my clients, I'm like, I can't wait for you to get your period and not notice it was coming. And they're like, that will never be me. That'll never be. And I love the emails. They're like, Ash, I woke up my period and I did not even realize I was getting it. Like stunning, like no PMS that she woke up and like, what the hell. One of my clients was like, I was on a flight, she's like, I was so unprepared, but she was like delighted I got it, but she's like, I couldn't believe that I had no PMS and then up to it. So that's what we want to achieve, like that's the goal, and that can be achievable. It's just understanding what we're doing that kind of you know, reduce their progesterone. We're all lunatics. We're all big stress heads.
Like, yeah.
That's probably the first problem.
Yeah. And like, just before like we head off as well, like what advice would you give to women out there who feel, you know, they're in a transition of their life, that they're questioning their own cycle. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what they're doing. And they're near here. I get times where I'm nearly gaslighting myself. Like, where do you think they should go? And what do you think they should do about being curious about their own body and finding out about their own cycle and taking charge of it?
Yeah, I think like listen to podcasts like this. There's a really good book called The Period Repair Manual. Do you ever read that, Lara Bryden?
I saw, yeah.
It's such a good book. I feel like that should be taught in like school curriculums, like just the basics of your hormones 101. This is the whole reason I did my podcast, like because I wanted to just have an educational tool. So like the very first episode of my podcast is how your cycles work, like, and how lifestyle impacts your, like what causes PMS. So if you just even understood those two basic things, that would be a huge help for you. Is like, I would say, one of the most frustrating things I hear from through doctors and medical is, well, if you don't want to get pregnant, what's the problem? Like, why would you have to be if you don't want to get pregnant? And it's so ignorant. And it's like, obviously ovulation is not just for making babies. Ovulation is how you make your hormones. So it's so condescending to think that like, we're just baby making machines and let's just switch off female hormones. Like when you're on birth control, I know it sounds so dramatic, but you are making the same level of hormones as your granny is. Do you think your granny's having sex 3 days a week?
You never know.
Yeah, like, how do you think her vaginal dryness is? Like, do you know what I mean, though? Like, it's so insane. And these are, like, you know, young girls, like us young women, like, not realizing the impact it can have. So by saying to someone, you don't want to get pregnant, what's the issue? It's just so, like, it baffles me that that's still the narrative. And even the narrative for some younger doctors, like, as well, that, like, ovulation is not just for making babies, it's how we make our hormones. And I would say, put it the other way around, if men got periods, like there's no way, like there's no male birth control because they won't take it. Like, it's
there is weird. Isn't there, there's one pill but they won't take
on
it
on the market, like it's barely, like, and the side effects I think is something like bloating. I can't remember what it was. I remember laughing before, being like, there's no way that's ever going to go to market, no one would ever take it.
Because I think I said that to my ex. I was like, do you know what, I'm actually done. I was like, you go on the pill. I was like, I think women have done enough for years. Yeah. So you just start remembering to take that. Yeah, and I just got this.
I'll be pregnant tomorrow.
You'd like, be like, oh, 100%. We'd all be walking around pregnant.
Yeah.
And I was like, imagine for us, like the responsibility we have. And yeah, the one thing I hate, I know I'm like, I'm rambling as well. One of my biggest icks, and I think a lot of women, you know, the way, like, say, if you're with a guy or you're seeing a guy, they just presume, oh, you're not on the pill. It's like, excuse me. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, why do you think, like, I know we have to be responsible for ourselves and our own sexual health. I totally get that. But just presuming something about a woman that they're on contraception, it's so, it's just real dated. It's like, come on, like, mental, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so frustrating. Or I have a client who, like, a woman a few weeks ago, and she has had 4 kids and her husband won't get a vasectomy. And she's like, I don't want to be on birth control. He's like, no, I'm too scared. I'm not getting it. Too scared. I'm like, you've had 4 kids. I'm like, knock him out and get him to go get it done. Like, literally, it's just
put a bag over his head, shove him in a van, bring
honestly,
him to.
She's done labor 4 times and been on birth control her entire whatever menstrual years. And you won't get to me.
Oh, like, my God. Sure. God love my poor Nana now. God rest her soul. She had 11 kids.
Like, insane.
11 children. And old Ireland was like that.
Yeah.
Do you know, no telly, just Bob's your uncle.
And they knew nothing about natural cycle.
And it's mad to think, like, our grandmothers and even my mother, like, I wouldn't say she knows half of the stuff we're talking about now. So
yeah,
on that note, you have a
podcast.
Yeah, exactly. On that note, you've been an absolute inspiration, as always, to me, educating me. And I just love your knowledge and what you stand for women and for, you know, men on nutritional side, gut, everything like that. I think you're such an inspiration. Thank you so much, Ashley.
Thank you for having me. That was great, Shaf. We literally chat all day. Yeah.
Well, I'm just going to say before we end up, where can people follow you and where can people, like, find your business as well if they want to head over to your page and your business?
Yeah. So my clinic is called AOK Nutrition. So you'll see that if you go onto Google, you can go onto my Instagram, AOK Nutrition. Yep. And my podcast is called Spilling the Tea with AOK Nutrition. So you can jump from this episode and then dive into a wormhole of all
things. Amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Aisling. It's been a pleasure, as always.
Bye.
So that is it for another episode of Empower with Emma. I hope you took some amazing nuggets and information from that pod as much as I did. Aisling is such a well full of knowledge, especially with the female sector, even for gut problems or sleep problems. It's not just female health, but she's so empowering when it comes to just having conversations about those gray areas, about, you know, being a woman, about basically our womanhood, you know, and what we go through with our cycles, what we go through with fertility, everything like that, even around medication, contraception, just overall well-being that we just need to educate ourselves on, which I think is so, so empowering, as I said. So you can follow Aisling and follow her pod for more. She's so much knowledge over there. And as always, I would love if you could like, subscribe and follow to my podcast. And if you have any questions or feedback, feel free to message me or follow me on Instagram at Emma Kyo or Empower with Emma. And just to note as well, before I head off, I actually have an amazing spring retreat to bring some spring in your step coming out of hibernation. It is on Saturday the 27th of April to Monday the 29th in the beautiful hills of Wicklow in Paris Court Springs. If you feel that you actually need to just have a spring reset and wrap yourself up and give back to yourself, this is your chance to come along and let me guide you through a soul-filling, heartwarming retreat with cacao ceremonies. There's going to be yoga. There's going to be workshops. And of course, you're going to get some time to wander the grounds, to go to the spa, to give back to yourself. If you feel you want to come alone, which is totally normal, there's lots of people that come on their own, or you want to come as a friend, definitely have a look over on my website as I have the early bird special on there for the next week. And I would love to help guide you through your own journey. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next week.